Thank you to James for bringing the announcements. Also, thanks to Nigel for leading the meeting and for everyone who has taken part and has brought their reports and their updates from our trip in Poland. There's nothing really more for me to say. It's all been said already. The photographs, there were some photographs. I want to thank Kerry for putting that together for us. You sort of had to keep an eye out for Kerry during the week because she could suddenly appear in front of you with a camera. But I'm very grateful for her doing that and for pulling everything together for us. So they'll be back on the screen again at the end of the service. Take a few minutes just to see those photos, if you haven't already had an opportunity, and to see just a snapshot of what we did and what the Lord was doing in Poland. I'm with Matthew. I lost weight too. I don't know what happened to Nigel, but I certainly lost weight. It wasn't anything to do with ice cream anyway, that's all I can say. But we're going to turn back to Psalm 1 again, please, this evening. Psalm 1. And I want to read the psalm in its entirety, but we're going to break into the chapter at verse 4, really. And we'll be looking at verse 4 to verse 6, but we'll read the whole psalm just for now. The Word of God says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. And I'm not going to take very long this evening, but we looked at this psalm this morning. We looked at the opening three verses of this psalm in regard to the blessing that is bestowed upon the Christian who seeks to be obedient and faithful to the Lord. And we looked at the question, how blessed are we? But when we looked at it this morning, we did notice that there is this contrast set in the psalm between those who are saved and those who are unsaved, those who are following after the Lord and those who don't know the Lord at all. We find those opening words in verse 4 where it goes straight into speaking about the ungodly, and the psalmist just very simply in this second section of the psalm says the ungodly are not so. And of course, that sets the contrast against the previous verses, verse 1 to verse 3. There's a very evident picture here. There can be no confusion regarding the difference between those who are followers of the Lord, those who are blessed as they walk with the Lord, as they delight in his word, as those who are planted and rooted by the rivers of water. There's no confusion regarding the difference between those people and those who are not. You read the words from verse 4 down to verse 6. And when we read those words, for those of us who are saved this evening, and there's a little thought in this for the saved this evening. You've trusted in Christ. You rejoice in your salvation. You have hope in Christ. You enjoy the blessings of Christ. But there is, when we read this psalm, this thought that we must be conscious of those who are not saved. Those who don't know Christ as their Savior. You see, the ungodly are not so. They're not like we are when we read those verses and we read that blessing. Warren Wiersbe says that when we read verse 4 to verse 6, these are the people that the godly must seek to reach with the gospel. And there is an onus upon us, if you're saved this evening, to reach those who are lost. There's an onus upon us to tell those who are not saved about Jesus Christ. That is the case. You've heard this evening about our mission trip to Elbląg in Poland. And the primary purpose of us going out there was to share the gospel with children who need God's salvation. But while we were there, we had the opportunity to share with parents of some of those children as they came in on the Friday afternoon. And Pastor Pavel shared with me that many of those parents will have never heard the gospel before. And we had that opportunity to share the message of the gospel with those folks in Elbląg. But here's the thing for us this evening. We don't need to go to Poland to preach the gospel. We don't need to go out of Points Pass to preach the gospel to unsaved people. We have them here in our own towns and in our own villages, perhaps in our own homes and in our own families. Perhaps in our meeting this evening, you're one who has not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe that is the case tonight. Do you know, you might not like this description that the psalmist uses in verse 4 when he says, the ungodly are not so. You don't think of yourself like that. You just think of yourself as an ordinary person. And you are, in many ways, just an ordinary person. But there is a dividing line in Scripture. There are two categories in this psalm. There are the godly, those who are in Christ. And there are the ungodly, those who are not in Christ. The question for you this evening is this. Does this word ungodly describe your standing before God? I want to draw three things to your attention very quickly. I want you to see in verse 4 that the ungodly have no strength. The ungodly have no strength. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Do you know, whenever we read in verse 3, the previous verse, the psalmist here is writing and he talks about the one who depends upon the Lord, and he talks about how they shall be planted or rooted by the rivers of water. There is a planting. There is a strength which is found there for those who are depending upon the Lord, those who are in Christ this evening. But straight away, when we come into verse 4 and we have this statement, the ungodly are not so, the psalmist is speaking about strength. The psalmist is speaking about where their roots are. They're not rooted in anything except in their own sinful nature. The Holy Spirit is painting a full picture here. There's nothing hidden. It's all out in the open, as it were. You see, the strength that's available to the Christian through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can avail of that if we're saved tonight, we can avail of the power of the Holy Spirit, but that strength that's available to the Christian is not readily available to the one who has not trusted in the Lord, the one who is described as the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. Now, when you take this back to the original language, that phrase, the ungodly are not so, that there is a sense in the original of a double negative. It could be translated like this. It could say, not so the ungodly, not so. Do you remember how we said that verse 1, the first word in verse 1, in section 1, it talked about blessed, and how that's a plural in the original language, and it can mean much blessing, or it can mean happy. Happy is the man. Well, that is reflected in verse 4 when we come to this section. The ungodly are not so. Not so the ungodly. Not so. There's a double emphasis placed upon it. The ungodly have no strength. And therefore, because they have no strength, they are blown here and there and everywhere. And when we set this in the context of our personal lives, we have to understand that without the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit, that power which is granted to the Christian at the point of salvation, the unsaved person then, without that power, without that blessing, without the infilling of the Spirit of God, is subject to pressures brought to bear by the world. Subject to those pressures brought to bear by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And within that person, there is little to no capacity to be restrained from those pressures. One commentator says the unsaved person is at the mercy of forces which they do not see and which they cannot control. You see, the unsaved person is held by their sin nature. We're born as sinners. Every single one of us, born in sin and sheeping in iniquity, every single one of us, the Word of God tells us, are born with that condition. But Christ came. And Christ went to the cross to deal with sin. Christ went to the cross to deal with your sin and my sin. He went there to deal with the sins of the world. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you're found here. You're like the chaff that the wind driveth away, blown here, there, and everywhere. I was listening to the news yesterday evening, or watching the news yesterday evening, and I noticed that they, in Dover, in the port of Dover on the southeast coast of England, security measures had been brought in because of the very high winds. And what was happening was that the ferries that were coming in and were going out of Dover Port, They were put on a system whereby it was being strictly monitored and controlled. One ship in, one ship out. So there were ships being backed up out in the sea, waiting for a ship to leave so that another ship could come in. Because the winds were so dangerous, the weather conditions were so bad that there was danger of damage. And this restraint was placed upon all of these ferries and all of these boats. But I started to think about that and I thought, well, if one of those ships was out there in the sea and there's high winds, what if there was damage caused to that ship? What if there was engine failure? What if it lost power in the midst of the heavy seas? What would happen then? There'd be nothing that could be done to control it. It would just be blown here and there and everywhere, and the winds would take control of the ship. And where would they take the ship? They would take it towards danger, because there's no control brought to bear upon that boat. And as I thought about that, I thought about what sin does in the life of the ungodly. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away, or which the wind bloweth about. You see, without the power that can only come from God, there's no strength to stand against the pressure that's brought to bear by our sin nature. But strength can only come through one place, through one person. It comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through God's salvation. The Lord Jesus left heaven, and he came here to provide that way of salvation for you and for me. And his death was sufficient for all. His sacrifice was sufficient for you tonight. And I ask you the question, are you relying on him? Or are you relying on your own strength? Are you trying to do it all yourself? Are you still trying to stand in your own strength when the reality is, as God's word teaches us, you have no strength at all. You have no standing. The ungodly have no strength. The ungodly have no standing. Verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now when we come to this verse 5, the psalmist brings us into a different scenario now. When we see that he talks about how the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, the picture here is the picture of a courtroom. The psalmist brings us to the courtroom, and really, when we take it from a scriptural perspective, the psalmist actually, in a prophetic sense, brings us almost to the end of scripture. He takes us to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and in Revelation 20, verse 11, we read these words, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And the prophetic words of the psalmist that we have read this evening ring true today. You see, that is the final judgment that comes for sin. The final judgment that will come upon sinners. And for those who come to the great white throne, there is no standing before a holy God. You see, only the lost, only the ungodly come before the great white throne. Only the ungodly, those who don't know Jesus Christ, despite their own opinions, despite their own feelings about themselves, despite the fact that they might think, well, I'm not too bad. I'm not ungodly. If you've never sought God's forgiveness, if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, if you've never confessed your need of Him, if you've never repented of your sin, you'll come before that great white throne. And those who come before the great white throne, you read on down in Revelation 20 and verse 15, and it tells us there that those whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Those who come before the great white throne, lost for all eternity. At the time of the judgment in Revelation 20 and verse 11, in that verse it says that the one who sat on the great white throne, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Heaven and earth flee away. Heaven and earth, think about that. There are many who are living for the things of this life. They're living for the things of earth. They're living for the things of time, whether it's wealth or the pleasures of sin or possessions or whatever it might be. But when they come before that great white throne, those who are not saved, there will be none of those things with you, because heaven and earth will flee away and there's no place found for them. You'll not be able to take them with you and plead those things when you come to the great white throne. You'll not be able to come and say, but look what I did. Look at my efforts. Look at what I gave. Look at the wealth I accumulated. I paid to build that church. I did this. I did that. I did the other. It won't matter. All those things fade away. It will just be you and a just and holy God who sent his Son to be your Savior, and you rejected him. The psalmist tells us here, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The sentence will be clear. You'll be guilty as charged. Do you know the stories told of Queen Elizabeth I, who reigned as the Queen of Great Britain for over 45 years? And she was a very successful queen. And she built a great army. She built a great navy, which defeated the Armada. She secured victories for Britain. She did many great things. But when she was dying, it said that she sat on her throne and she held on grimly to her throne, pleading not to die. And it said that her last words were this: all my possessions for one moment of time. All my possessions for one moment of time. And the thing was that she passed out into eternity. There were no more moments. It was time to die. If death was to come for you tonight, where would your standing be? Where would you be? Would it be in Christ? Would you be secure for all eternity? Or would you have no standing before a just and holy God? Which will it be for you? The ungodly have no strength. The ungodly have no standing. Let me say in verse 6, it tells us that the ungodly have no salvation. It says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And the psalmist here finishes with a clear picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he speaks about two ways. He says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, there are two roads. There's the broad road, there's the narrow road. What's the way of the righteous? It's the way of the cross. It's through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14 and 6, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, the Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord knows those who have given themselves to him, and the Lord has saved them. And he saved them and he secured them. Salvation is secure for those who trust in Christ. But the other side of that same fact is that while the Lord knows those who are his, the Lord knows those who are not his. He knows those who will not enter his heaven. He knows those who have rejected his Son. He knows those who are not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 21 and 27, the Word of God says, and there shall in no wise enter into it, that's heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those who have trusted in the Lamb of God will enter heaven. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, there's standing in Christ, there's salvation in Christ, but as the psalmist says here, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Over in Matthew 7 and verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking, and he said this, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And then, as we've quoted already in Revelation 20, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, friend, tonight, there is no salvation for the ungodly. There is no second chance after death. Salvation is only to be found now in this life. And the Word of God tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's hope now. But there's no guarantee of hope in the future. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. There's no guarantee of another hour. But there is now. There's hope now. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered at Calvary so that you could come to him now. Not so that you could put it off and say, I'll get saved sometime. Not so that you could say, I'll come back next week. He went to Calvary so that you would be saved now. He loves you. Oh, how he loves you. He loves you so much that he went to that cross for you. But if you reject him, and understand this tonight, if you don't understand anything else, if you reject him, your eternity will be a fearful eternity. Separated from God. Cast into hell for eternity. Into that place that the Word of God tells us is prepared for the devil and his angels. That place which is a place of torment. Where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And you will be there for one reason only. Not because God put you there. But because your sin took you there. And you rejected Christ. What is your choice tonight? Is your choice death? Or is it life? Because it's that stark. That's the reality of the fall, that you're a sinner. But Christ is the Savior of sinners. Will you trust in him? Will you come to him? Will you come to Calvary and hear his words and see his work and obey his call? Will you be done with your sin and be ready for eternity? Or will you continue and follow the way of the ungodly? And ultimately, as the Word of God says, not the words of the preacher, the Word of God says, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Don't perish. Come to Jesus. Amen. We'll just close our meeting in prayer just now.